Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 30. "Colonel, what is our ETA?" asked General Westmoreland as he emerged from his forced sleep in the front cabin of the Boeing 747 looking glass aircraft. "We should arrive in less than an hour. We're going into battle surveillance pattern Delta 45, said the colonel, standing at parade rest as Wes approached. "I've been reconsidering. Just a feeling, Colonel. Perhaps we should move our position to the north a couple of 100 miles, said Wes. "A feeling, sir?" asked the colonel, wondering if this was a tactical trap of the general's he should avoid. "Have you eliminated the lunar radar posts?" asked Wes coldly. "Yes, sir," said the colonel. "Are the carriers in place over eastern Kentucky according to my direction?" asked Wes. "Yes, sir. They have been in position for about 4 hours," said the colonel. "Have there been any signs of mobilization on the escaping world? Any at all?" asked Wes. "Nothing really, sir. Even the highways are empty," said the colonel. "What does that mean, Colonel?" "I ask the question again," said Wes, stepping into the colonel's space of comfort. "We can only see down from the carriers in geosynchronous orbit, sir. There is no other orbiting surveillance on that planet. We have no ground assets in place, sir. Even the drones we placed a few weeks ago have all died out. The truth is, sir, that we just do not know," said the colonel nervously. "That is correct, Colonel. We do not know. There is not a cloud in the sky, no troops, no planes, and no silo doors open. For all we know, they are sitting there on their knees waiting to go to heaven. Is that what you think, Colonel?" asked Wes.
"I've seen it before, sir. In Iraq. Appeasement, sir," said the colonel.
"Interesting analysis, Colonel. Care to define?" asked Wes, turning one ear to him.
"We were carpet bombing. They had no air force or even anti-aircraft assets. We laid into them for weeks while they hunkered below the sand. We told CNN we were going to do a massive amphibious assault, and of course they told the whole world for days. Then we attacked straight across the Kuwaiti border. It was kind of nice to watch the reporters kick the sand and yell at their staff. Our tanks rolled at almost 70 miles an hour toward their artillery bunkers. Long story short, we didn't lose a single tank. They came out by the thousands with their hands over their heads. They just sat there, feeding their friends to the alligator, hoping it would eat them last," said the colonel.
"We also soaked them in harp signals," said Wes.
"What was that, sir?" asked the colonel. "It was a top-secret electronic psyop. It gave them visions, dreams, anxiety. Cursed them to their bones," said Wes. "So, while we were thumping the sand with billions in useless ordnance, you were making them cry like babies?" asked the colonel.
"We've been shaping our atmosphere a couple of days," said Wes.
2 days. Using which harp facilities?" asked the colonel.
"Every one of them in the Northern Hemisphere. It's a fully functional network of mind-altering hell, waiting for my signal to deploy," said Wes, folding his arms.
"Just say when, General," said the colonel.
"Let's change shifts, Colonel. We're going to need Lewis on the holographic board," said Wes.
"First Sergeant, make your shift change and make battle stations ready," said the colonel.
"All second shift personnel, secure all workstations and acknowledge," barked the First Sergeant into the address system for the main cabin. He reached up and switched channels on the handset. "Wake up, little rainbows. Duty stations in 10 minutes. Feet on deck," he ordered. The sound was redirected into the rear sleeping quarters of the 747. Station by station, the chair was swiveled and the person stood up behind it. When the last station was logged out, the First Sergeant picked up the handset, spoke into it quietly, and waited for the response.
"Second shift, at ease. Your team replacement is ready." He switched the handset to the flight engineer. in the flight deck and inform them to be ready for a shift in balance. "Change them up," he barked over the cabin-wide communication. The soundproof door opened and a line of technicians filed into the main control room. One by one, the team members were tapped, and they each walked back to the sleeping quarters. When every chair had been changed out, the first sergeant picked up the handset and gave the order. "First shift, take your stations and log in. Make ready for battle. Mr. Lewis, let me know when you have a visual of the carriers," said the colonel, loud enough to be heard over the sound of the aircraft pushing through the air at nearly 600 miles an hour. "I'll be live as soon as she boots up, sir," said Lewis. "Colonel, have 10 vessels drop in about 3,000 miles out and launch 2 warheads each. Spread them out. If there's anything Mr. Lewis can't see, the explosion will take them out without harming any of our ships," said Wes. "Yes, sir. Calm. Send a message to the flight commander. Launch 10 ships and report when they are in attack formation," ordered the colonel. "Yes, sir," said the airman working the communication station. "I have the first layer coming up, colonel. The harp signal is reflecting nicely. I should have the balance in less than a minute. It's stochastically arranging the colors, sir," said Lewis. "Colonel, I have acknowledgement from the flight commander. The technicians are depressurizing the launch bay. The crew has been waiting for orders. He said they should have 10 ships in formation within 10 minutes," said the comm. "I imagine they appreciate your caution on this attack, General," said the colonel. "Let's look at the battle zone, Colonel. I want the first wave to split the first pass of warheads with half about 25 miles north of Detroit, next to the Canadian border, and the other half about 25 miles south of Lake Michigan," said Wes. "The plasma blast will destroy everything up the southern edge of Cleveland and down to the northern edge of Detroit. If this projected data is correct, they have a 10-mile diameter blast zone with a 15-mile instant kill zone. The rest, for another 20 miles, just burns," said the colonel. "The survivors will devour one another to get to the water," said Wes. "Most people will run rather than burn," said the colonel. "Prepare to launch, colonel," said Wes. "Lewis, we have eyes?" asked the colonel, looking over to his station. "Yes, sir. The field is up and clear. No foreign objects in sight. She's like prehistoric space, sir," said Lewis. "Colonel, flight commander reports his 10 ships are in attack formation," said the comm. "Send the order," said Wes. "Comm, order 10 ships to commence a tight circle. Approach no lower than 3,000 miles altitude above the surface, laying half their ordnance to land on north 41 degrees 8 minutes, 1.07 seconds, and west 81 degrees 29 minutes, 6.21 seconds, and then circle north to lay half their ordnance to land on north 42 degrees 34 minutes, 0.58 seconds, and west 83 degrees 32 minutes, 3.36 seconds, said the colonel, looking at the holographic display. "Yes, sir," said the comm. "That should obliterate Akron, Flint, Ann Arbor, and part of northern Toledo, and put the fear of God into Cleveland and Detroit, General," said the colonel. "It is designed to make them fear there is no God," said Wes. "The power and the glory, General," said the colonel. "Let's see what they do when they know there is no one coming to the rescue," said Wes. "They're away. The ships are away," said the comm. "It won't be long now," said the colonel, so quiet only Wes could hear the words. "Colonel, I have the ships with only a few seconds delay. You can see them here in blue," said Lewis, pointing to the screen. "Can you tag their velocity to their images?" asked Wes. "Just like NASCAR, sir," said Lewis, spinning the trackball and attaching the text windows to each ship. "Nothing in the way this time, right, Lewis?" asked the colonel. "No, sir. The space is clean as it can be," said Lewis. Is that speed correct? Asked Wes, leaning over Lewis's shoulder to see the text inside the windows tagged to each ship.
Yes, sir. That's about 18,000 miles an hour. They're pulling, let's see, about 3 G's in that tight circle, sir, said Lewis.
That's not too bad. Those are all fighter pilots. A Black Hawk pilot can take those G's, said the colonel.
There's the first launch. These smaller white points, much faster and much smaller. It will take about 10 to 12 minutes, depending on how these things slow down in the atmosphere, to strike the surface, said Lewis.
Oh, they won't reach the surface. They're designed to explode about 2,000 feet above the ground. The plasma ball reaches about 6,000 degrees Celsius for a depth of about 1,000 feet and creates winds of 7,500 meters a second, said Wes.
They're releasing the second wave and pulling out, sir, said Lewis.
So far, so good, General.
Oh, the first explosion, sir. I'm losing the display in that area. There's too much disturbance now. Based on the burst pattern, it looks like all your ships will make it away safely, General, said Lewis.
Are you recording, Lewis? Asked the colonel.
Never stopped, sir, said Lewis, smiling.
You like this, Mr. Lewis? Asked West with an inquisitive tone.
Best game in the world, from the best seat in the world, General, said Lewis.
I want assessments, Colonel, said West.
Sir, the only way we can do that is to send in a few ships to make some sort of recon after the smoke clears. The, beings with the ships have said they will not enter the atmosphere of that world. Their instruments only function on this world, sir, said the colonel.
We can read a novel from 400 miles away, Colonel. I think pictures from orbit will tell what I need to know, said Wes.
Calm. Inform the flight commander I want damage assessment images as close as they can get. Give me sequences. I want to know about movement and responses if they can get it, said the colonel.
Yes, sir, said the comm.
Colonel, prepare to deploy the rest of the fleet, said Wes.
The colonel tried to swallow in his raspy throat and speak, but he had to take a breath. He had just witnessed the instant death of at least 2 million civilians and knew the ensuing mayhem might claim twice that many more. The idea that another world was escaping with a couple of billion people and hundreds of trillions in assets with them into the blackness of space wasn't making it hard to swallow.
Calm, do you have a report? Asked the colonel finally.
They have deployed another pass to collect the data, sir.
It may take a few hours for the fires to die down, said the comm with a muted voice as he dropped his hands into his lap from the keyboard.
Colonel, deploy the remainder of the fleet and implement the final phase of the attack with one change. Belay the ground strike on Site R until I give the order. I want Riker to watch his people running for their lives for a while. He dies last, said Wes.
Sir, I'm getting some flutter here, said Lewis.
I don't understand hollow jargon, Lewis. I need quantitative data, mister, shouted the colonel.
Sorry, Colonel. My display is receive only. I'm not sending a signal. I'm only receiving one. It's a sort of radio X-ray of the airspace on that world. The source of my display energy is from the ELF and ULF signals sent through the harp arrays we are blasting into our own atmosphere. We've been looking through the Earth for decades for oil and gas, and I just adapted it to look through their airspace. It's never been done before. Thank you for saying so. The picture naturally has quite a bit of noise to it, and I'm doing my best at tuning it out, but right now I am getting some phase flutter, sir, said Lewis.
Lewis, phase flutter doesn't help me at all. I'm trying to give orders. I need some intel here. Now, unless you want off this plane, tell me what I need to know, said the colonel, trying not to sound like a drill instructor.
Phase flutter is also known as phase shifting.
When a signal is split into two signals, the other signal could be phase shifted and then mixed back into the original signal. It creates a metallic sound in music and can be used to encrypt signals so they cannot be detected by digital equipment. This looks like phase flutter, which is a rapid shifting of two signals together, sir, said Lewis.
Colonel, it is time to deploy the fleet, said Wes, crunching his hands together behind him.
Sir, I have images downloading now, said the comm.
Damn it, son. Put them on the screen. Is there any video? Asked the colonel.
No, sir. There are visual and IR images only, but there are a couple hundred of them.
I will send them over as soon as they finish loading, said the young airman, quietly clicking the mouse at the file links.
These are the links, airman. I need images, barked the colonel.
You can click the links yourself, Colonel, said the airman, barely audible.
The colonel yanked the keyboard drawer out that was underneath a large screen and nothing on it but a small gray box with file links appearing in a list.
Colonel, make them large icons. We can pick the ones we want to see full screen, said Wes, eager to see the results of his flawless attack.
The colonel clicked the drop-down menu and selected the large icon option on the large screen.
Dozens of images were still downloading, and the ones already on the screen were of two different types. The black and white ones were the IR images. The colonel's hand hovered over the mouse like it was frozen.
The first color image, Colonel, said Wes in his deep machine voice.
The plane was roaring through the smooth air at nearly 50,000 feet. At that moment, the plane was quiet. They had been airborne for nearly 20 hours, sleeping in shifts. They had become numb to the din of the aluminum frame ripping through the upper atmosphere, but no one moved. All eyes were fixed on that dark screen when the colonel moved his terrible index finger to start viewing the war of General Wes Morley.
Jesus, said one of the officers, sitting along the looking-glass console facing the outside of the plane.
Exactly right, said Wes. I believe this is Cleveland, General. The waterline is to the north, if this is oriented correctly, said the colonel vacantly.
That is exactly right, soldiers. God abandoned mankind a long time ago, and his son was an even bigger disappointment. The Romans, Greeks, Ottomans, Germans, and then the all-powerful NATO alliance have each squeezed the life out of the world in the name of money and power. Nothing has ever been done to stop it. Not then, not now. This image doesn't show what's happening on the ground, Colonel. Put the program on slideshow with 10 seconds between the images. I want us all to see the punishment for the greatest theft of government property ever perpetrated, said Wes, rearing his head back and spitting his words against the roar of the cabin.
The colonel selected the slideshow option, and the images began in sequential order to flash across the large flat screen. The color versions were interspersed with the infrared versions, and slowly the story was being revealed. The tall buildings were all gone. The trees that once held Akron and Cleveland like a green canvas against the land were all gone. Homes, apartment complexes, and shopping centers looked like smoldering embers drifting along a barren concrete surface. There were no people anywhere. Image after image showed complete devastation.
What the hell is this? Asked Wes, pointing at the screen.
This is the battle assessment, General. Raw data is never, began the colonel.
That is not what I mean. Where is everyone? Where are all the people? Screamed Wes.
General, they have all been vaporized. There is not one brick standing on another. They're gone, said the colonel.
That is not the idea, Colonel. Dead bodies don't get us victory.
That's why we did a test, Colonel. Order them to reset their weapons to detonate higher off the ground, snapped Wes.
Sir, That will set their hair on fire, but it won't be effective, began the colonel.
That's exactly what we're looking for. I want them to run like animals. Every living soul on that world is being bathed with loneliness right now. Our electronic message is erasing heaven from their memories as we speak. Death is freedom for them. Do I make myself clear, Colonel? Asked Wes as coldly as he could say the words and still be heard.
Calm. Deploy the remainder of the fleet to attack pattern Gamma 270. One missile per pass.
Tell them to set their ordnance at 5,000 feet, ordered the colonel.
Sir, that will make the attack last for several hours, responded the airman.
Those are my orders, airman. Make your launch time 2,000 hours, said the colonel.
Yes, sir, said the airman at the comm station.
Sir, I am beginning to get some interference on my display signal, said Lewis.
What kind of interference, Mr. Lewis? Asked the colonel.
Unknown, sir. It comes and goes.
Get a handle on it, Mr. Lewis. We're live in about 20 minutes.
You can stop the slideshow, colonel.
I've seen enough prairies, said Wes.
He adjusted his blade cap on his belt and turned back to the colonel.
I'll be back in 15 minutes. Have those ships deployed in formation when I get back, he said, pointing to the colonel's pocket with his name tag sewn in place.
No one in the cabin looked at the general as he marched up the left aisle to the front of the plane. The engines were nearly silent now as he passed the doorway leading into a conference room to the right. He continued forward past the conference room. He tapped the combination and opened the bulletproof door into his quarters. He bent over to his toes, and in one fluid motion he unzipped his boots and slid them off his feet. He sat on the edge of the tightly made bed and took a deep breath. He could feel the finality coming at him. The escaping planet would soon be out of his reach. And he had this one chance to send millions of souls back into the darkness from which they came. He could feel the rage of inadequacy coming up his throat like bile. In a few minutes, every living thing on the entire east coast of America was going to be running for its life with their backs on fire. There were billions more who would never see that horror. There were people all over the world who were somehow thankful to be alive. They were sitting together, closely together. They were kissing their children and saying their little prayers, hoping to be spared from the death falling from the sky. He clenched his fists into the comforter on the bed in silence, because he knew they would be spared. He knew he could not reach all of them. Their absentee God could wait for even more millennia now to show his face. Perhaps their world will turn into a frozen ball of absolute zero. Perhaps it will drift aimlessly across the galaxy and into some star or black hole and be ripped apart so slowly that this universe will pass away from old age before it ends. Perhaps. His grip loosened slightly at the thought. He just wanted to be sure.